Okay, once again, so my name is Rabbi Daniel Hartstein, and I have the great opportunity to give a shiur to you. Not necessarily the best shiur of the week, so I think that was, maybe incorrect. Maybe the funniest shiur of the week, that we'll see. And the topic is one that hits home. We actually related to Pesach, but certainly hits home when we're in a hotel. Because I've noticed that a lot of you have been stealing the whole week. I've been watching. And by the way, I apologize. I forgot to announce. The hotel said that somebody lost this from their room. And I don't know if that's anybody's. So this is one of the questions, right? Are we allowed to take the soaps? I took a few things, right? So we got some soaps here, right? Can we take it with us? Is that allowed? Or can we, store them? We're here for 8-9 days. Store them, and then every day you get it replenished. Or, the delicious, can we take that? Can we take more? Is that allowed? Right? As I said, I don't have any more props. So this is the question that we really want to ask today. Unfortunately, I mean this, unfortunately, the one of the topic items, hotel soaps, towels, and breakfast, so I was very, very upset to find, this is the first hotel I've been at. I've been to many hotels, just to tell you a little bit about my life. By day, I'm a rabbi. I teach in the mornings in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Yeshiva Leif HaTorah. And by night, at 4 o'clock, I start my American job as CEO of a catering company in America. Don't ask how that works exactly. It's not important. So I do a lot of catering. And I cater almost, we cater a lot of hotels. And we've seen some crazy stuff. We've seen people, and this happens all the time, some of the greatest organizations in the world, who tell us there's only going to be 300 people. And then Shabbos rolls around and they come and there's 350 people. And they complain to us, why'd you run out of food? I'm like, about 50 people is the reason why. And then they don't want to pay. They said, well, we told you 300. You should have made food for 300. All these things happen. So why am I upset? Because I saw at breakfast something quite amazing. At breakfast, you could actually ask them for a to-go container, right? We all know there's no lunch here. And it's very upsetting. God forbid you should go, 6 hours without eating. I know there's an Isser in the Torah for that, like God forbid. And so we want to store up all of our food. And
I just want to tell you, why we stopped doing lunches?
Yeah, go ahead.
People who had plans to go on to
live. Didn't want to go. Right. I can't miss it. Right.
If I have lunch, I already pay for it.
That's right. So in the
suit. Lunches for that reason.
Not to compare, you're very lucky to be in Eretz Yisrael. But if you've ever heard about the hotels, at least that I know of in the United States, so it's like eating all day. Like that's what it is. Nobody's going on Tiulim, right? There's no such thing as Tiulim because you got to eat after breakfast. The tea room obviously opens, and God forbid it should open 15 minutes after. We don't know what we're going to do for 15 minutes. And out by the pool, there's barbecues, all these different things. So they give to-go containers. So I have no question on breakfast this morning. My daughter, who has a minhag of coming downstairs exactly at 10:30 in the morning, and waits until they close. And so they gave her to-go containers today. And they said, we're closing soon. Here, take some stuff upstairs. And I was like, what is this? This is bizarre world. This is wonderful. So can one do that? Can one take, what if there's a lot of times you have go to a hotel and there's a sign. And the sign specifically says, please do not take anything out of the dining room. And you say, well, that doesn't apply to me because it's falada. We need falada. Is it allowed? Now, clearly, nobody in this room, I hope, I don't know you all, but my assumption is, at least my family members, I could say this for, we're not walking into a supermarket and telling our children, shh, be quiet. You distract the guy and I'm going to go steal something. We're not those three people. We're not walking into a bank and robbing banks. So where did it come out? And can it be that you're allowed to do that? So look at the first source. It's very, very interesting. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, on Daf Kuf Samach Hei, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, something startling, Rov Begezem. You could say, oh, this must be talking about the Goyim. Most non-Jews, no, we're talking about Jews. Most Jews steal. Oh, my God. Umiyat barayas, hopefully, most of them are not doing arayas or doing things they shouldn't be. V'akol b'lashon hara. So I certainly agree with the last statement. Akol b'lashon hara, yeah, that's for sure. By the way, I have a good story. But so we do. We speak lashon hara. And hopefully we're not, but rov begezel. How is this possible? How can the Gemara tell us? Most Jews steal. So on the Gemara, the Rashbam explains, Rov begezel, Rov b'nei adam choshtim al gezel. Kein gezel, not real stealing, justified stealing. Fake stealing, if you'll call it that. But they justify it. Why? So it says, Kein gezel shoim l'heteira. They say to themselves, it's allowed. right? One of the very difficult things of being in the, having always been in the catering business. Before this, I spent many, many years in the telecom business. It happened to be that the area that I dealt with in telecom was with Arab countries. And that was great because I dealt with Arabs all the time. I didn't have to think about Jews at all. Now I only deal with Jews. And it's very difficult when you talk to certain types of Jews and they say things like, Well, you know what you can do. Thank God America gave out a lot, meaning not thank God for the people that live in America, but thank God for people like me who pay taxes in America and got over $10,000 from the government for not doing anything except paying taxes. But now that they're in a lot of debt and we know what's going on in America now. But there were PPP loans, there were all these different, and a lot of people were doing a lot of shtick, as we like to call it, shtick. And I heard from someone who looked very religious and he said to me, "You know you're allowed to steal. It's okay." I said, no, but the government, it's not what this is for. You're not allowed to do this. He says, "What, we can't steal for them? You don't remember what happened in the Holocaust?" Like, the Holocaust, like Poland, Germany, like, what, this is America. That's a terrible thing to think of. There's no differential factor between non-Jews and Jews when it comes to stealing. In fact, there are those that actually say that we're more machmir. There are some poskim who say we're actually more machmir because we have a concept in stealing. It's called the sheva pruta. It's not such an easy concept to discuss. I give in Yeshiva Leva Torah, I actually give classes in business. And sheva pruta, what's less than a pruta that you're going to steal? They say, you know, you take someone's pen without permission and you write a little bit, maybe. It's not a lot of things. We say that by God, you can't steal anything. It's a chila, because of chila Hashem. Right? And unfortunately, I don't have to tell you in the news, you see all the time, right? I always say to my students, I said, God forbid I should ever get arrested for, you know, specifically business stuff, right? Imagine me getting arrested for business. Hey, isn't that a rabbi that talks about business ethics? That's that rabbi. The first thing I'll do is take my yarmulke off. I'm shocked. Sometimes you see in court these people, there was a famous, I'm not going to say his name, he insisted on wearing a black hat in court. And the judge said, you know, we're in America now. It's not respectful to wear a hat inside of the court. He says, I'm a religious individual. I have to wear it. Can you imagine? Thank God he got 11 years in prison. But in any case, what does this mean? So I think the answer is obvious. And that is what we call justified stealing. We don't steal. We don't go into places. But we justify it. And it's remarkable to me how we do that. So before I continue, if you don't mind, right? You don't have to play the game if you don't want to play. It's okay. I want to get an idea from the audience, because I want to know my audience, of how far you think we can go. So just by a show of hands, you don't have to play if you don't want to play. It's okay, don't worry about it. How many people think for sure you can take the soaps home from the hotel? The soaps for sure, soaps for sure, soaps, right? Okay, most people say the soaps. Okay, we're getting a little machmir here. What about a towel? Can you take a towel home? Anybody think a towel? Now, I have to remind you, my name is Daniel. My first name is Daniel. It's very hard for me. All the towels say my name on it. I mean, it's Ki'ilu, like, it's telling me to steal it, you know? It'd be nice to show people. So towel, wow, you guys are, I'm very impressed. Everybody's pretty religious. So then your TV you're going to say no to for sure, right? No TV. You get the TV home. Mine's in my mirror, my TV. It's going to be very hard to take home, the mirror. But, okay, that's a good start. That's a good start. The Rambam, in source number 3, teaches us the laws of stealing. And this is in, not just the Rambam codifies this, Maimonides and for example, a lot of the Rishonim, the Rush, Rabbeinu Usher, the Rif, the Beit Yosef, of course, the Shulchan Aruch says this, Kol HaGonev Mammon, source number 3, Misheva Pruta, if you steal anything that's over a penny's worth, Umalo over a lo sase, it's an Isser Min HaTorah, it's an Isser Min Doraisa. As the Pasuk tells, Lo Tignova. Now, one's going to argue, as we just said before, well, that's talking about Jews. The Pasuk in the Torah is obviously talking about Jews, right? The Echad Agonev Mammon says in the second line of the Rambam, Yisrael, oh, Gonev Mammon Goy, over the Rosari, even a guy that we kind of say, well, it's okay, because he's not following the right path. It doesn't matter. Echad Agonev Gadol, it's terrible. It doesn't matter who it is. Katan Gadol, you're not allowed to steal. Asur Lignov, and then the Rambam, the next Allah, Kol Shu Din Torah. It's an Isser Min HaTorah. Seemingly, the Rambam codifies this, not only for Jews, but to steal from a non-Jew is just as Asur. This comes up when it comes to taxes, right? People are not so, you know, not us, other people, are not so honest with their taxes. And don't they don't write everything down. So it's interesting, Rav Shechter of YU, or Sheshiva of YU, actually says something remarkable. People think that the reason why it's okay to cheat a little bit on your taxes is because, well, I don't agree with everything the government does. I don't agree with everything. And I don't need a park, right? I don't have any kids. I don't need a park. They're putting parks up. I don't need parks. And I've heard this many times. And in my state, they allow gay marriage. And I don't approve of that. So that's at least $1,000 off my taxes. So I'm not going to declare this, that, and the other. Says Rav Schechter, very simple case, let's say. You don't pay $100 worth of taxes. Who's going to pay those taxes? Who's? Another Jew. Even if it's another dollar that you're going to have to pay. So you're not only stealing from non-Jews, you're stealing from your Jews by not paying your taxes. It's a terrible thing. For a person to think that there's some sort of underlying dispensation that allows it because they're not Jewish, which we're not talking about here in the hotel, here for sure we're talking about Jews, is remarkable to me. I have a hard time explaining this to my students in yeshiva because I don't understand what the possible difference would be between them. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this halacha in source number 4. Asur lignov afilu kol shu. Anything. Din Torah, it's an Isser Minat Torah. It's a Torah prohibition. Asur lignov afilu derech schok. So here's a very interesting line, and we're going to use this and we're going to relate this to Pesach. Even as a joke. So this is an interesting thing that happens sometimes, right? You have a student, and I don't know if you know from this. Unfortunately, I deal with this all the time. He's addicted to his phone. Right? We did a survey in the yeshiva. And this is not a joke. This is unfortunately real. We did a survey in the yeshiva at the end of the year. We asked all sort of questions, all survey questions. One of the questions were, do you think that your phone is an appendage to your body? 78% of the students answered yes. Yes. Remarkable. So the kid's on his phone. He's trying to get him, right? So in my class, when I give class, we take out one of those boxes and we say, you put it in here. If you don't put it in here, I'm telling you I have the right to destroy it if you take it out, right? They get scared. I mean, they put it in very, very quickly in there. So the kid's on his phone. He's going crazy, so on and so forth. The kid decides he wants to take a walk. He gets up and he leaves. And I want to be a good Rebbe and teach Shechina because I think I'm... And I take his phone. And I take it and go, God, I'm taking his phone. Nobody's going to know. And he comes back to the room and you see right away, right? Imagine coming back to the room and saying, oh my God, where's my arm? I'm missing my arm. Where's it? And he's looking around, he's looking at all the guys, oh, everybody knows. And he doesn't know. And you see, he's like, wait a minute, I went to the bathroom, maybe I left it in the bathroom. And of course, as we all, he opens up the stall and looks in the toilet, you know, he's like, maybe I left it, it's gone. And then he comes back to class and I give him back the phone. And I say, you know, I only did this because I want to teach you a lesson. You're addicted to your phone, Torah's more important, whatever it might be. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that is an Isser in the Torah. You're not allowed to, even as a joke, make a joke with somebody, even if it's for chinuch purposes. And steal something, right? This is something that we may do all of the time. Oh, it's be funny. We'll come back. This watch isn't there. You're not allowed to do that. I'll give you an example. Rapam, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Torah Vadas, was known to be an unbelievable ethical individual. And in the yeshiva, many years ago, the following thing happened. There was a kid in the yeshiva, a bachar, as we call them, and he was a bit addicted. In those days, they didn't have the phones. He was addicted to his camera. He had one of these beautiful cameras, and all day, when he would have time off, he would take pictures and, I don't know, go out on Ocean Park, who knows what, and take pictures. And his fellow roommates were upset that he was wasting time instead of learning Torah. They had a great idea. They're going to steal the camera. Not steal it, they're going to make it. And once he goes crazy over the camera, then he's going to, fine. So he comes into the back to the room, he's ready, it's lunchtime, and he's going to take all of his pictures. And he said, where's my camera? Did anybody see my camera? And he's sweating. Where's my camera? Did anybody see my camera? Where's my camera? Going crazy. And they're laughing like anything, but he doesn't know what's going on. And he's like, I can't believe this. And he, in his mind, says to himself, wait a minute, I know where my camera is. I think I left it yesterday. I'm never going to get it back. Forget it. I'm done. It's New York. New York. I'm never going to get my camera back. I'm done. I lost my camera. I can't believe it. And then they finally, you know, scene closes and they're, next scene opens, and they say, we're just kidding, we have your camera. But don't you see how he says, oh my God, you're addicted to it. And then he says, wait a minute, I don't think the camera belongs to me anymore. I said, what are you talking about? They all the students go to Rapam, the Rosh Yeshiva, and they discuss a case. If you've been a student of the Talmud, you'll know. The Gemara tells us that if you are miyayish something, if you lose hope over something, right, then it's considered to be hefker. And Rapam said, yes, that's exactly what happened. Every student that took it as a joke is considered to be a ganav. He stole it because when he lost hope, that made them into ganav. So even as a joke, we don't steal, says the Shulchan Aruch. V'afilo amanat l'hachzir, even if I'm going to give it back afterwards. And listen to this. O kedei lishlum tashlum, right? You're going to pay tashlum, you're going to pay kefel. right? We have a halacha, right? In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we used to have, when we had a full base in the Sanhedrin, that if someone stole, you were punished not only with paying back, you had to pay back double. So now I have a great idea. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There's a guy in the shul, and he needs money, but he won't admit that he needs money. But we all know that, people know, the rabbi says, listen, I don't know what to do. The guy won't accept money, but it's clear that he's, his wife says he needs it. His kids say he needs money. I have a great idea. I'm going to go into his house, and I'm going to steal something. I'm going to get caught. I'm going to do it like during the day. I get caught, and then what happens? He has to pay double. And he's like, great, I'm happy to pay double now that he's got the money. Okay, I don't look like a good guy. But you're not allowed to do that either. What is the reason for this? Oh, Kadei, one last thing. Kadei Litzaro. He doesn't like him. What does he want to do? He wants to cause him anguish. Right? He wants to put him on Shvilkis. I don't like him, so I steal something. I'm going to return it. Not allowed to do that. And finally, why, says the Shulchan Aruch? Kadei Shelo Yagil Asmo Bakach. Maybe somebody could help me out where this actually comes from. I looked it up on the internet, and it says that it's a Dutch proverb. It's an English proverb. It's a lot of proverbs. Once a thief, always a thief. Right? Where does that come from originally? Anybody want to tell me? I don't know. The internet says a lot of different things. Rabbi Google did not know exactly. It's a proverb. What does that mean, once a thief, always a thief? It means that if a person becomes a regular... Right? So... we get nervous about that. So therefore, if I start to justify and say, well, this I can take. I mean, obviously I can take this. You know how much money I paid for my room? I didn't. But you know how much money my parents and my in-laws paid for my room? Yeah. So what can I do? So obviously I can take this. I don't want to call out anybody here, but of course this is what my job is. I'll call out my wife for a moment. So my wife had a student. My wife used to teach in a seminary. And she was sick. So being a good teacher, she brought her some chicken soup. And she's sick, and she comes downstairs, and she's wearing a beautiful plush robe that says on it, King David Hotel. So she says, wow, you must be very sick. You know, you're not in the King David Hotel. You're in the seminary. She said, oh, this was okay for me to take this. She's like, oh, you could buy it. She said, no, I didn't buy it. My grandparents stayed in the King David. Do you know how much the King David is a night? My grandparents said I should take it. They said, for the amount of money they charge us for Shabbos, at least take two robes if you want to, you know? And she had no qualms about it. We had a situation in our yeshiva once. This is very hard to believe this to be true. But there used to be a guy that came. He actually needed money, so it was a very nice thing. And he would sell cakes. His wife would make these little cakes back in the day before inflation for 5 shekel. And it was the honor system, and he had a little stucco box. And guys loved it. They're cakes, fresh cakes, and they buy 5 shekel. And the first week he comes to me and he says, by the way, your yeshiva is better than most yeshivas. I said, what are you talking about? Because this week I got 80% of my money. Meaning 20% of the people didn't pay, honor system. And then as the weeks go on, we didn't become the greatest yeshiva. We went to 50%. And I got so upset about it, I decided to sponsor a mini camera. And I wrote, this is crazy, I wrote, this is under surveillance. I wanted to see who was stealing. But they didn't care. And we unfortunately caught some people stealing. And of course they justified it and said, whoa, he's going to come later. We actually caught a kid that went up, took out of his pocket nothing, and put it in the stucco box. I'm like, come on, man. I know that sleight of hand trick. You know, I'm a magician. I saw the magician last night. Come on. So this person said to me, I want to tell you a story you're not going to believe. He said in a seminary that is known to be one of the most religious seminaries, if you will, in Yerushalayim, there, I sold my cakes, and I had the same problem, and I went to the, whatever they're called, the menahel of the yeshiva, and I told him the story, and he says, oh, that doesn't surprise me. You're not going to believe this story. He says, in our seminary, we have laundry. They have washing machine and dryers, and we have you put in 5 shekel. 5 shekel you get a wash, 5 shekel you get a dry. Great. I open it the first week. You're not going to believe what I find inside. U.S. quarters. Why? Because a quarter is worth less money than 5 shekel. The girls figured out a great idea. They told their parents, send us quarters. And when he came and he asked the girls, all the girls said, yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault. You shouldn't have a machine that has the same size. A quarter and 5 shekels are very similar in size. It's your fault. And he was shocked. He's like, would you go into the makolin and take something and say it's your fault, you didn't catch me stealing? It's remarkable. A person becomes regular bekaf. That's what we're worried about. However, one could argue correctly that maybe there is a dispensation here. Why? Because as I told you before, what if the hotel says it's okay? Right? What if the hotel says yes? And I've spoken to, I did not speak to this general manager, but I spoke to general managers of other hotels, and I asked them this question. And in fact, there's a gentleman by the name of Jacob Tomsky who wrote a book called Heads in Beds. And in The Guardian, there's an article. One of the, I know there's a lot of British people here, so I didn't want to say something that you would understand my English. The Guardian, right? And is that a British? Am I wrong? Is it a British newspaper? Okay. So he wrote an article. It was about his book that he wrote, Heads in Beds. He's actually an American, I'm sorry. And so he said that he spent the last 25 years in the hospitality industry. And he actually wrote a book, and one of the chapters deals with justified stealing. And he said he asked all different types of general managers, and it's known they want you to take certain items. Let me give you an example. A pen that says, unfortunately, the pens don't say Daniel on it. Yeah, it says Tamar's, unfortunately for me. But I stole this pen, and just to show you, Rabbi Hartzi, why do they want you to take the pen? It's advertising for them. It's great. It's leaking, by the way. No. So there are certain things that's okay. If you ask the general manager, he'll tell you, of course you're allowed to take the look. That's yours to keep. No matter how you finish the game, it's fine. Totally fine. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you're correct. Look at source number 5. This is in Choshen Mishpat, in the laws of business. Also, l'gzol, l'ashok, you're not allowed to steal anything, kolshu, even anything, ben yisrael, ben avodah, even a new John, like we said. However, v'im hu d'chol leka man kapidle. What if he's not makpid? Right? When we go in to the supermarket, I don't know, at least this is my minhag. You go into the supermarket and there are grapes, and right? When we have seasons here in Israel. So it's just starting to be grape season now. Apparently it was only on the first night of the Seder was grape season in the hotel. Now we haven't seen grapes since, but maybe they'll come back. So grape season, but you don't know what the, it's 35 shekel for grapes. I want to know what they taste like. So of course I'm going to taste one. I'm machmir, you know. I want to taste a cluster. You know, I want to say that. But can you taste one? So if you know that the supermarket is not makbid, they're okay with it. It's the price of doing business. I know that. I asked the hotel guy, and he said, yeah, sure, you can take it. For example, I'll give you the example. The yeshiva goes on a trip, 110 boys, they go on a hike. And part of the hike is that they walk through a field to see the beautiful trees of Israel, especially during the Shemitah year. And there's a gorgeous orange grove. So one of the students asked the tour guide, excuse me, these look so delicious. Can I take an orange? And he says, yeah, of course you can take an orange. The owner doesn't care. Now, who just heard that? He just tells his friend, by the way, you can take an orange. You can take an orange. Now there's 110 oranges missing. That may be a problem. Because the Shulchan Aruch writes in the bolded part, also be Yerushalmi. However, I want to point out, you're allowed to do this if the owner says you're allowed to. But the Yerushalmi, right, we have the Babylonian Talmud, and then we have the Jerusalem Talmud, says, Midas Chassidus is better not to be. You want to be extra special? Don't do this. Why? So says Rabbi Yeshua Falk in his Sefer Meira Senayim, there's a very good reason why a person shouldn't do this. Why? Because he says, the Beis Yosef, others quote, the Afilu also kol kain, also chen kol echad nimsa hachavila kazu nares. Exactly what I just said. Because if you take one and he takes one and the whole yeshiva takes one, I just have a tree that is barren of any fruit because you took all of it. So maybe it's not. Maybe you should. And maybe the first Shulchan Aruch that we saw is also true. You're going to become rugged. You're going to become a... You justified stealing. You say, this is okay. Well, why isn't that okay? If that's okay, it's a slippery slope, potentially. Again, I understand a person wants to argue. I stayed in the hotel. There are certain things that come with my hotel stay. It's obvious, right? But that justified way, right? There's a tea room. I don't know if anybody went to the tea room today. I'm sure everybody did. Went to the tea room. They upgraded the tea room today. Shh. And there was ice cream. And there was soda. I love soda. So can we take a bottle up to the room? I don't know. I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, maybe I think it's obvious. I don't think that's the intention of that. But what if I went to the maitre d', not to the guy standing there. This is very important. You can't go to Ahmed, the guy standing there. I'm just assuming that's his name. And you can't go to him and say, excuse me, can I take a bottle? By the way, he doesn't understand English. And he's like, okay, yes, yes. You know, like, you can't do that. But you ask somebody of power that's important, can I do this? There's a story told about my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, a wonderful story, where, I mean, this part of the story is sad. It was Thanksgiving, and Rav Aaron was taking his mother-in-law back to Chicago with him. That's the sad part. He was taking his mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law's here. How are you doing? He's taking his mother-in-law back to Chicago for Thanksgiving. And very strangely enough, Rav Aaron used to always fly American Airlines. And when he checks in, back in the olden days, they didn't make reservations. He says, okay, it's you know, he says, oh, we're having a special for Thanksgiving. I don't know why, but they're having a Thanksgiving. Buy one, get one. You and your spouse, you and your whatever, your significant other, one pays and one flies for free. So he said, I can't explain to you how far off this is from my significant other or my love or anything like that. This is my mother-in-law. You know, this is the last person that should be one plus one. So the lady said, oh, no, it's okay. It's free. He says, I would like to speak to somebody who is the manager, somebody important. And the person came out who was the manager. And the person said, no, sir, it's fine. As long as somebody of authority says it. Sometimes you have to be careful because there is a fine line of somebody says, oh, it's okay. The person behind the counter. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's really an amazing thing. Thank God. When we go to the supermarket, the people that work in the supermarket will do anything possible to make sure that you get the best value, whatever it's. You be standing online, and the lady gets upset with you. Mommy, why? No. Get three of those, and you get one free, right? It's amazing. They're like, no. My job here is to make sure that this supermarket doesn't do well. Please, take more stuff. I remember when Costco first came to Israel. It's in a supermarket called Osher Ad. So my wife was so excited. They had paper towels from Costco. I don't know if you know. Paper towels here in Eretz Yisrael, I don't want to say anything negative about Eretz Yisrael, but you can't pick up much. You need like 12, you know, towels for one thing. So we were so excited. So we're waiting online, and we bought the big 12 case for 79 shekel, not 99 shekel. And the lady, I promise you, at the counter wouldn't let us buy it. She says, what are you, crazy, Meshuga? She says, 79 shekel? No, I'm not letting you buy it. We're like, lady, can you? She felt so bad that we were paying so much money for paper towels. Right? That's a beautiful thing about Eretz Yisrael. But nonetheless, a person has to be careful. Says Rabbi Yeshua Falk that a person has to be careful that he is asking the right person and he's not becoming a stealer. And the last thing that we said, which is very important, a person has to be very careful as well that maybe he should be a little bit more machmir, because if one person takes, maybe everybody will take. And one last thing, maybe we could argue as well, is something called Chil Hashem. How is it going to look? Right? The Jews, oh look, they're the ones always taking. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe we have to be a little bit more careful. That's a possibility. Before we move on, very interesting. The Chinuch, in source number 7, I wrote Minchas Chinuch, it's actually the Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, of course, the commentary on the Chinuch. The Chinuch in itself is a very, very interesting sefer. It's one of the few svarim that we have that we don't know who the author is. It's one of the codifiers of the 613 mitzvahs. We do not know exactly, I mean, anybody that knows, we don't have 613 mitzvahs. We have thousands of mitzvahs that we do. But there are 613 we know. So the Chinuch is one of many, like the Rambam and the Ramban and the Smag, and who counts it. But what's interesting about the Chinuch itself is that we're not exactly sure who wrote the Chinuch itself. There are different opinions. There's actually a paper that was written by Professor Yisrael, a professor in Hebrew University, and he says the following thing. He said that we're not sure who it is. Many people say it was the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah was a very famous commentary. Some people say it was his brother that wrote it. He thinks it's his brother. And there are different reasons why one would think who wrote what. This is what we do know about it. We know that it was written between 1274 and 1310. Some argue it had to be a student of the Ramban. Others argue that it had to be a student of the Rashba because of many different commentaries he makes of saying, my Rebbe, the Rashba, so that would seemingly be obvious. But it's not 100% sure who wrote it. So it's just a very interesting idea. And he says as follows, and this is something that I've tried to teach my students, my children. It's a very important lesson. He asked the following question. This is like a children's question that many children ask. This is in Mitzvah Tet Zion. Tet Zion is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. One of the many laws we have about Korban Pesach, one of them being called Shvirat Etzem. When you eat the Korban Pesach, you have to be very careful not to break the bone. One of the things that you're not allowed to do. So, he says as follows, source number 7. This is, of course, only a small commentary on this. So, again, who wrote it before? So we don't know now that the sun just went down, so I was able to see what I wrote on my sheet. So this professor, I quoted, Rav Yisrael Moshe, love his last name, Tashma, that was his last name. So Professor Tashma says that we're not sure who wrote it, but he thinks it was the brother of the Ra. So he says as follows. He says the Chinuch, Lama ze yitzava otano Hashem yitbarach lasot kol elu zikaron hanes. Why are there so many darn remembrances of the mitzvah of Pesach? Can you imagine a week ago, the Seder being 25 minutes? Right? Imagine coming downstairs and some rabbi coming up with the fact that, just say the Manish Tana, Avadim Hayinu, Rubba Dub Dub, thanks for the grub, we love God, let's go to the main meal. Right? It's always interesting in a hotel, because there are many people, especially the Arabs that are here, they're wondering, what are these Jews doing? Why are they not eating? There's food here. And look at them, they're eating crackers. Ooh, that little bitter herb. What are they doing? Right? So he asked the question, which is a typical question to ask. Why do we have to have so many remembrances? Everything. Oh, Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim. Why? And he says something very, very fundamental. And he says as follows. The Ata Benit, second line, the end of the second line. Listen carefully, my son. I'm going to tell you something that is a key for life. Shema Zot Ve'ateos Necha. Listen carefully, he says. Alamdecha, I'm going to teach you something that is a foundation of all Torah mitzvos. Da, ki adam nifal b'fli pulato. Basically, as the Chinuch later on says, achar pulato nimshach levavot. Your actions is what your, achar pulato, your actions will follow your heart. Right? If somebody comes to you and they says, Rebbe, I have a very, very big problem. I don't like doing chesed, right? I don't like davening. What do you recommend? So I had a student come to me, this is really true, and he said to me, Rebbe, I'm not into davening. I'm not into it, Rebbe. What should I do? I said, do you go to davening in the morning? No. I said, why don't you try that first? You don't daven. Try davening. Try doing chesed. We teach our children, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you. Then what happens, we hope, after hopefully a few months, years, maybe never, but hopefully what are they going to say? Thank you. And it's going to become a second nature thing. Not saying, why should I thank the waiter? He's getting paid. No. So says the Chinuch, the actions we do defines who we are, for bad and for good. So if you have somebody who's a robber, he's not a good person because of what he does and what he's involved in all the time. He can't say, well, I'm a robber, but I give a lot of money to Staka. The Staka doesn't define him. The robbery defines him. And therefore, I think this Chinuch defines what we're speaking about today. Who do we want to define ourselves as? What our actions are. What our kids see. Right? Imagine our kids seeing us all the time saying, ooh, look over there at that table. I think we could take their, they're not going to know. Let's take their pizza. You know, what are you doing? Oh, Abba's just, he does this all the time. This is his joke. He knows how to get a drink and so on and so forth, right? And there are people like this. I have a student ask me a question. I don't know the answer to the question. I'm not 100% sure. He says his father's I don't want to call him a jokester because I don't think this is a joke. His father lives in Canada. And whenever he checks into a hotel, especially with his family, he says to them, I'm not sure you saw my, I said, give your passport in. He said, did you see my passport? He says, do you notice my number is C, right? The letter is C258, whatever is that number. He goes, you know what C stands for? And the person at the desk is like, no, I'm not from Canada. C stands for consulate. I'm a diplomat. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. 99% of the time, they upgrade the room to a much nicer room because they think he's more important than he is. He is not important. I mean, I'm sure he's important to somebody. To his mom, maybe. I don't know. But he's not a... So he asked me, can I... It's embarrassing. Can we do this? I once had on the plane, this is very strange, I was on a flight, and I was actually on United, and I was talking to my friend who happened to be sitting in back of me. I don't know why they cared, but I was turned around, and I was facing like on the seat itself. And the flight attendant came up and said, "Excuse me, sir, you're not allowed to sit that way." It wasn't the fastest seat. Okay, I said, "Okay, I apologize." So my friend, as a joke, said, "I don't think that's any way to speak to the undersecretary of the prime minister of the state of Israel." Right? Which really doesn't mean anything, but I promise you this is true. After I sat down, she came up to me with champagne. She says, "I'm so sorry, I didn't realize who you were." And I'm like, "Nah, he was just joking." She's like, no, I don't want to get in trouble. Just so that, and she was, this is United, you know? And so I kept it going, you know, now I'm like undersecretary of the, okay, that's something important. So I think that this chinuch is very, very important for us. Because that's who we are, and that's how he explains a famous Mishnah that we all know, right? L'fichach, here b'em Torah mitzvahs, we always say when they want to say Kaddish, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, L'fichach, what does it say? Rotzach HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'zachos, so God wanted to give us the greatest gift ever. You know what he gave us? L'fichach, here b'em Torah mitzvahs. He gave us a ton of Torah mitzvahs. That's not a good thing, right? That's a good thing. He says, yes, you know what? The more mitzvahs we do, the better people we become. That's very important. So that's one relationship to the holiday of Pesach, and then we'll end off with the, if we turn the page over, to a great case. Don't worry, we won't do it all inside. I know, don't worry. I have been machmir. I have been at dinner. I get there at 7 o'clock, and I leave when they close at 9:30. So don't worry, we'll be out before 7. Believe it or not, we will. I want to go to dinner as much as you do. Rav Chaim David HaLevi, the former chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, 1951 to 1973, has many, many outstanding svarim. One of them is called the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch here in Israel. All of our religious Zionist students learn the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Chaim David HaLevi, Makor Chaim. And I actually remember when my son Yaakov, my son who's in the army, who was here today, now he went back to base, and hopefully he'll be with us for Yontif. So Yaakov had a test. We had just moved to Israel, and it was on Makor Chaim, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And I know the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch from America, Rav Gansfried, the famous one. And we're studying for the test, and my son knows nothing. He's telling me all the wrong stuff, and I'm reading it, right? And then I realize that he's got a different sefer, and there's a different Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Chaim David HaLevi was an outstanding, outstanding rabbi who asked the greatest questions. So here in his Sheol Sechuvas Asei Lecha Rab, it's also written in a compendium called Shana B'Shana, which I'm fond of because my father would always get it from my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha. So he says the following thing. Listen to this question. It's a great question. Great question for Pesach. Listen to this question. So a son-in-law goes to his in-laws for Pesach. Terrible story. Okay, fine. He has to go to the in-laws for Pesach. And he comes there, and he's the one with all the kids. And it's just the father-in-law is there. And he says to the father-in-law, you know, I have different minhagim than you have. Right? Not, God forbid, like, you know, I eat rice and we have to have, you know, no. So he says, oh, you run the Seder, it's fine. And all of a sudden it comes up to Afikoman, and he says, no. The father says, who's going to steal the Afikoman? Who's going to steal the Afikoman? Which kid's going to steal the Afikoman? And the father-in-law has his mouth open, and he says, What? Steal the Afikoman? How can you use those words to your children? Stealing? What a terrible thing! You're not going to steal? And the son-in-law is like, yo, calm down. whatever he calls his father-in-law, you know, calm down. And he's very upset. And he writes a letter to Rav Chaim David HaLevi. And he says, you know, I have a horrible son-in-law. He's terrible. My daughter made a big mistake. You know, he writes this whole beautiful thing. And he says he's teaching my grandchildren. He's teaching them to steal. A chutzpah. So says Rav Chaim David HaLevi, I want to start off with a premise. Right? In the second paragraph. She'ein anochi maskimim b'shum panim she'yesh kan geneva. I'm going to write the word stealing the Afikoman. It's not real stealing. We all know that. It's not real stealing. He was afraid of it. I'm teaching my grandchildren it. And he goes through the whole sugya of what we call stealing. And he says, I understand that you had one minhag. I understand. And he says, but let's discuss. It's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about chotven et ha-matzot, grabbing of the matzos. And the Rashbam, the commentary on Pesachim, right after Rashi, right, says, right, his grandson says, you know what Zaidi meant when he said that? Chotvin is a matzos? Gizela. We steal the matzos. It's just a term that's used. It's actually remarkable. The Chassam Sofer had a son Rav Shimon Sofer. I've seen many, many different reasons why we do this. The number one reason you can answer for everything is so the children will ask, and that's one of the reasons, right? In our a minhag that I established, I started, is that we two kids take the matzahs and we do a karate chop, and the children say, well, what's going on here? This is great. That's what we do. Rav Shimon Sofer has a beautiful perish where he says, you know why we do this? The stealing of the matzahs, it's actually stealing. You know why? Because we learn from the pasuk tells us that when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, lo yechatz kelev lishono, they didn't bark dogs. The Gemara says in Psachim that if you should, that one of the animals that a person is allowed to have, because the dogs are great for one reason, especially here in Israel, a lot of people have dogs. Why? Robbers. Arabs happen to be very, very scared of dogs. They don't have dogs in their neighborhoods. They're scared of dogs. So dogs are good to have because they start barking when somebody's coming that they don't know. So what happened on the night of Pesach? No dogs barked. People must have been robbed. So because of that, we remind ourselves of that. Not the Jews, of course. But we remind ourselves of the robbing. Very, very interesting idea. Rav Chaim David HaLevi, you could look at this later because we have to get to dinner. Rav Chaim David HaLevi gives, based on different Gemaras, the idea that it's just Chotfim. You're taking it. It's actually not called the Gezela, even though it's called in the Lashon. Our rabbis tell us the word Gezela. That's not a real Gezela. And the Chok Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reifscher, the inventor, I should say, but the codifier of all halachas of Pesach, very well known to be the one. And he says, yeah, it's allowed to be. So the children will ask. That's no problem. And he writes at the end, and therefore I tell you, and it's right what we said, all the sources that we quoted, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, you're not allowed to even do it as a joke. This is not a joke. This is allowed. It's not considered to be real stealing at all. And therefore, your premise of your question doesn't get off the ground, but it's amazing what he writes in the last paragraph, except for one thing you said, which is true. Any smart son-in-law who goes to his father-in-law's house should follow the minhag of the father-in-law and teach his children what the Gemara also says in Pesachim and Daf Pei Vav, which is Kol Ma Sheyomer Bal Habayit Aseh. Whatever the head of the household does, you do. Right? Be a little bit smart, son-in-law, or you're going to lose your wife. Right? Come on. And he says it's a great chiduch of the kids, saying we're in Zadie's house, we're in Saba's house, we're in Grandpa's house. He does some things different. Shh, don't say because he's crazy. You know, no, he does some things that are different. So we're not going to call it, Grandpa, what do you do? And after he's like, wow, Dad, you're very tolerant. That's great. And I guess I am. I'm the greatest father, though. But that's what he's saying. So as much as we spoke about how maybe some of these things are allowed to be taken and it's okay, we have to be very, very careful of what we want to establish. When it comes to the Seder, I don't think we call it the word stealing the matzahs. I think that's not the correct premise. But in general, it's good to be careful and to say, yeah, I know you're allowed to. Let's maybe be a little bit more machmer. And certainly not justify it and say, yeah, they're going to throw that stuff out anyway, right? That's a lot of people. Well, they're going to I think they're going to throw the stuff out already. A person certainly is not allowed to do that. But in general, right, there's a very important lesson and a very good chinuch lesson to teach our children, to teach ourselves, that we want to be people that are upstanding citizens even more and say, yeah, okay, so I didn't come home with a few extra soaps. What's going to happen? So I'll go out and buy ivory soap for 99 cents. It's okay. It's okay. Very interesting idea. I think very much related to our holiday. We should all be zoichet to have a chag kasher v'sameach.